Okay, so we're going to start the sugya of Bizoy Ochlin. I remember this came up a number of years ago where someone asked me that they were at a chasana, I think, and they served soup in a bowl that was made out of bread. And they wanted to know whether that was mutter asr to do, because isn't that a Bizoy Ochlin? It's you're using bread for other things. I remember when I was in yeshiva, they used to not have napkins in the Chadar Ochel. I don't know, in Shalvin they have napkins?
Once in a while.
What?
Once in a while.
So they didn't have napkins, but they always had ample amounts of bread. So when people would need to wipe grease off their hands, they would just take more bread and wipe their hands with bread. So that would seem to be problematic, right, in terms of Bizoy Ochlin, right? You're certainly not allowed to do that. So let's discuss where this comes from. So the Torah writes in Luchos Petzias HaPas, in Simon Kuf Ayin Aleph, Amar Shmuel Os Adam Kol Tzrach HaPas, he's quoting the Gemara, that a person could do Kol Tzrach HaPas, Vilchsa Kavasei. The Torah says we pass in that way. But Vahanimili Bemidi Delo Mamisbei. That's only for something that won't make it gross. Avon Bemidi De Mamisbei Lo Hilkochein Mimili Cholav Basu Chai. Anything that will make the bread gross, you're not allowed to do with bread. So you shouldn't put like raw meat on top of bread, you're seeing it all bloody and gross. Vein Zarkin HaPas Mishum Bizoy Ochlin. You also shouldn't throw bread, because that's also Bizoy Ochlin. Shame Shane Zorkin as a pass kachi and Zorkin call the Oakland and the Muslim al Yedei Zrika. Kimotutim uteinim. You shouldn't throw any food that will become gross by throwing it, like throwing strawberries or figs. Aval, the meat of the Lamamis, Kikon Rimonim, Gozim Shari, or something that won't get disgusting, like pomegranate, where all the seeds are protected inside the shell, or Gozim, where they have a shell that the inside, so the nut will be safe. That you're allowed to throw, or a candy that's in a wrapper or something like that, that it's not going to be nimas, so then you're allowed to throw, right? You ever wondered why you're allowed to throw candy bags in shul at the so there are several shailas about that. Is that you're allowed to throw food? Are you allowed to have food in a shul? Are you allowed to throw food, throw anything in a shul? Is it going to be chavala on the on the nezikin that you're going to cause, you know, to the bar mitzvah boy or whatever? But it has a makar in the Gemara about throwing out a chas, and not really at bar mitzvah boy. That doesn't really have a makar. But the point is that anything that's not going to become nimas is not considered a bizoy or bizoy ochum. So the Torah writes, Kasva don yavi arash zal yesh nog in lechu daisa bepas b'makom kaf. Kiven sha'ochlin apas achar kach, he says, wow, this is the closest thing you can get to a bread bowl. He says that instead of using a spoon, people would eat their porridge by using bread as their spoon. They would spoon it out with bread, scoop it out with the bread, and then eat it that way. And he said that that's okay because they're eating the bread also. Meaning, let's say you have a little soup at the end of your soup bowl, and you know it's not, you can't get it on the spoon. So one thing you could do is you could pick up the bowl and pour it into a spoon, but that will end up being a mess of a spoon over there. The other is you can pick up the bowl and just drink it, but then you're like a chaya, no one's going to talk to you anymore. Or you could take a little bit of bread and you could clean up the soup with your bread and then just eat the bread. So isn't that Bizoy Ochlin? You're using the bread just to sponge up some soup? So he said, no, because you're eating the bread, it's not a problem. Vein Ochlin Ochlin ba'ochlin, elim keino yiru'u yilachila, pirush elim elim ochlin biyachad. He says that in general, you're not allowed to use food as a way to eat other food unless you're eating both foods at the same time. And therefore, asr lechol daisa bepas b'makom kaf, you're not supposed to eat, use the bread as a spoon to eat the daisa. The efshar, they eat the mesechah sofrim, pligad de Shmuel. He says it could be that which it says in mesechah sofrim is different than Shmuel. Right, because in the Masechta Sofrim it says that you're not supposed to eat ochlin ba'ochlin unless they're roi la'achila, and you're eating them together. The Ketani ain't somchin vein mechasim ba'ochlin l'shmol shari. Because in the Masechta Sofrim it says you're not supposed to be mechasim ba'ochlin, but according to Shmuel it would be mutter to lo mamis. Because according to Shmuel, anything that won't make it gross is going to be mutter. But in the Masechta Sofrim it seems to be more machmir. It seems to say that any usage of food that is not to eat that food, that is not ultimately so that you can eat that very food that you're using, is going to be awesome. So if I take a piece of bread, let's say, to cover my coffee with, because I want to keep the coffee hot, right? So that's also going to be awesome, even though the coffee is not going to get, the bread is not going to get gross. So according to Mesach Sofrim, that's going to be awesome, but according to Shmuel, that's going to be mutter, because it's lo mamis.
When you say eating it together, does that mean like in the same bite they carry the cracker?
No, I think it just means you'll eat it as part of that meal. So says the Torah, how do we paskin? Vanan kaimulun kishmuel v'lo mamis hapas sho'ochel ba'daisa. He says, we pass let Shmuel, so just don't make the food disgusting. And then the Torah says, but you should know, I've seen people who are extra machmirs. What they do is, like you just said, that they take a little bit of a bite off of the bread every time they do it. So that, you know, so like if you're eating, it sounds like you're eating soup from a bread bowl, each time they'll scrape a little bread from the bottom of the bowl, so that or from the side of the bowl, so that they're having a little something with it. So this is a major discussion in the Torah. He quoted all these different opinions. Now, the Beis Yosef writes on that, Umashmali, Tahanach Shnogin Lechol Adaisa Bepas B'Makom Kaf, Savri Kishmuel, that the people that use the bread to eat the food hold like Shmuel, Umasha Ochel Mepas Achar Kach, M'nei Shemishu Ochel Bo'adaisa, Eino Nimas Alav. And he says that Shmuel holds that you're not allowed to make it disgusting. So he says, if you're going to eat it afterwards, then that shows that you hold it's not disgusting. And therefore, it's mutter to do. That's what the Beis Yosef says. So you're allowed to use the bread bowl, because as long as you eat the bread bowl at the end, I like to have sometimes they'll serve like a salad in a tortilla, right? Or a waffle cone for ice cream, exactly, right? I guess any ice cream cone is, right? Just used to, I told. But sometimes I'll have like a bowl that's... You know, so if you're going to eat it at the end, so then that's a raya that I thought they were going to serve us. When my wife and I went to the sushi place in town. You know the sushi place over here in Woodridge? It's new. So we tried it out, and they have like a sushi salad. I thought it was going to, the description on the menu, I thought it was going to be served in an edible bowl. But the bowl was plastic, so I don't think it was edible. So anyway, close call. We almost had it. Then there's a place right next door, Agat, that's called Crusts and Cream or something like that. Crust and Cream. So cream sounds like
ice cream.
I think it's just a name. We didn't have any ice cream. It's a pizza store. Okay, whatever. So the Beis Yosef writes, if you're going to eat it afterwards, so then it shows that you don't think it's nimas. And it's also not hefsalochlin because you're going to eat it. He says, but if you're not going to eat it afterwards and you're using this as a spoon and you keep, oh, let's say you're sucking out the soup from the bread or something like that, so it's disgusting because no one else is going to eat it once you put that in your mouth. So then it would be a violation. So whether you actually eat it afterwards comes out a little bit interesting, because normally we would say that whether something is also a mutter is determined in the moment, right? That it can't be that a glay nusl mafreya, that if I choose not to eat it, if I decide afterwards that I'm not going to eat it, now it's going to be a glay nusl mafreya that I violated an issur. In the moment, was I violating this or not? But probably it means that in the moment you have to plan on eating it. And if you're not planning on eating it, then in the moment you're violating an issur. The Masech HaSofrim is mashma, that even if you'll eat it, it's going to be asur, because it's a zilzul to use food in that way, even if you're going to eat it. And then you have to mamash eat it all at the same time. That's the only way out. Because it should always look like the bread is the ikur. So if you're eating it at the same time and you have soup soaked up in your bread, don't suck out the soup and then afterwards eat the bread. Because then at the time that you sucked out the soup, you're just using the bread as a maisa eitz bialma, as something to use as a... Or don't eat the salad out of the tortilla and then eat the tortilla, or the soup out of the bread bowl and then eat the bread bowl. Not good enough, says Masech Sofrim, because at the time that you're eating the soup, you're just using the bread as a maisa eitz bialma. You have to have bread at the same time. And he says that's the explanation of the gedolim that the Torah quotes. The gedolim that were makbit to scrape a little bread every time that they had a bite of the soup were being choshish for that sheet of the Masech Sofrim. Now, what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? So in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Kuf Ayin Aleph, Shulchan Aruch writes in Sif Gimel, Mutar Lechol Daisa. Well, before that, Sif Aleph. Also, Adam Trachav Bepas. You're allowed to do Trachav Bepas. You're allowed to do whatever you need to do with bread. That's only if it doesn't become disgusting. Now the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Beis says bepas v'kolshkei b'shar ochli. That's kal v'chomer when it comes to other food. Aval midi demamis bay lo. But something that's going to become disgusting, you're not allowed to do it. Says in Mishnah Berurah. I guess this goes to the shayla you guys were asking before. Afilu b'shar ochli gam kein asur. Anything that will make it disgusting is going to be asur by shar ochli as well. It's not only pas. You shouldn't use it as a coaster to catch. You shouldn't use bread as a coaster to catch whatever's falling out of your cup. Right? Don't use it to support anything that could spill over and will make the bread disgusting. You don't do mitilas yadayim with wine, whether it be diluted or undiluted. Afilu mitilas sheinus aruch achila. Vein zorken apas mishum bizayin ochlim. You shouldn't throw bread because that's bizayin ochlim. Oh, so over here, anin zorken as a pas, says the Mishmur Sifkat Tes, umvur beis Yosef v'shar poskim, de pas chashiv etfei mishar ochlim. Ubedidei asra afilu mlo nemasali dezrika, gonsh zorka al gami makum naki dezilzul hu lepas. So very interesting. While when it comes to being mamis, to make it disgusting and to ruin it, that applies to all ochlim. But anything, but throwing it, which is just not nice, but it doesn't, if throwing it is not going to ruin it, that's only asr bepas, that's not asr b'shar ochlim. That's dafka bepas. And the Shulchan Aruch says it explicitly in the next line. Kshem shein zorkin es pas, kachin zorkin ochlim hanim osim al yidei zrika. Avomidi to lomamis kagona gozim rimonim chavush mshari. Right, anything that's not going to become disgusting is mutter to be zorik. Then in Sif Kimmel Shulchan Aruch says mutter lechol daisa bepas b'makom kaf vush yochla pas achar kach. What does that tell you? What don't you have to do?
Eat it in the moment.
You don't have to eat in the moment. You can eat it afterwards. Unlike the Masech HaSofrim. But then he writes, "V'amedaptikim ochlim b'chol pam shem nechlis atok piyam min apasam medaisa." Right? The medaptikim are careful to have a little bit of bread each time. And then the Rama adds, and on top of that, v'nishur min apasachar kach ochlim osam. Whatever's left over from the bread after, let's say you scrape off a little bit from the bread bowl every time you have, or you take off a little chunk of the tortilla every time you take a bite of the salad, but then you're left with the majority of it afterwards. Right? So then the medaktikin are makbid to finish it off, to eat the rest of it, because you don't want any part of the pas to have been used solely for the purpose of being meshamish another ochel. You want it also to be food itself. By the way, another restriction that we have over here is that, and this is something that's violated all the time, Mishnah Berurah writes, based on the Gemara in Tainus Daf Chav, that Rav Huna holds, Michael Ad, the main machil, and also the behema, or the ofos, or whatever. You're not supposed to take human food and feed it to animals. But El Yirab is masupuk, whether we pass him like that. So Mishpur says, Ayin maksa shekel, shevetzadi, dimeno devarach lahachil, ki machil odom, lukuli alma mutter. If there's nothing else that the animal will eat, then you're allowed to feed it machil odom. To Mishpur says, no ginolim het, lahachil ofos pas. And that's why people sometimes will feed bread to birds, because they don't have anything else to feed to birds. But this comes up all the time. Any dog owners here?
My uncle has a dog.
What?
My uncle.
Your uncle has a dog.
Buys a lot.
You what?
He comes to us.
He comes to you with the dog a lot. Does he ever feed the dog like from the table? Yeah. Well, everyone who owns a dog does that, right? They just they give the dog whatever they're eating. So the halacha is you're not supposed to eat before you feed your animal, right? But that doesn't mean you feed your animal from the food that you're eating. Because the Gemara says, or Rav Huna says, that you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to feed an animal food that you're eating. So the heter is twofold. Either, like Mishnah Berurah said, maybe we don't pass it like that name of Rav Huna, didn't make it into Shulchan Aruch. So look, not everything that doesn't make it into Shulchan Aruch is something that we don't pass it like. The Magen Avraham and Kofrim Vav, there's a whole list of things that didn't make it into Shulchan Aruch. Like the Yisra Vital Lashon Hara didn't make it into Shulchan Aruch. Chavetz Chaim still managed to write two full books about it. Right? The requirement of having a mechitza in a shul didn't make it into Shulchan Aruch, right? Yet, if you walk into a shul that doesn't have a mechitza, you know, that it's either a Chassidish shul and women never come, or where the mechitza is so big that you don't even realize that it's part of the shul, or that it's not an Orthodox shul. So not everything that doesn't make it into Shulchan Aruch is an indication that it's not halacha. There's a sefer called Shichachas HaOmer. Omer spelled with an aleph. It's a play on words. Shichachas HaOmer applies by the Omer, the criminal. So Shichachas HaOmer is a sefer of a list of halachos that didn't make it into the Rif, the Rambam, or the Shulchan Aruch, but are clear gemaras. So he goes through why different pshatim as to why they didn't make it. Most of them he finds a Magen Avraham that close to. Right, so this is no different. So maybe it didn't make him Shulchan Aruch because we don't pass in that way, or maybe we do pass in that way, but if you have nothing else to feed the animal won't eat anything else, so then you're allowed to, right? You may be allowed to feed it. I have that issue with my pet chilazons, in my fish tank. The chilazons only eat like salmon or tilapia or something like that. So even though salmon is delicious and I like to eat salmon also, so it's a human food, but we put salmon in it. The fish food just doesn't can't get to the fish food in time. It dissolves too good. Chilazons are slow. They're snails. So that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do in order to keep your chilazons alive. Now, a number of years ago, I had an email exchange with Rabbi Isaac Reis. You know Rabbi Isaac Reis? He's an outstanding Talmud Chacham from Five Towns. He's a Rebbe in SKA. Teaches a lot of classes in SKA. He's a very admired Torah personality there. And he's an assistant rabbi. He's officially an assistant rabbi, but he does a lot of the heavy lifting because the rabbi is not physically so well. There's a lot of physical challenges in Rabbi Lefkowitz. In Rabbi Lefkowitz, shul in the Five Towns in South Shore. So anyways, Rabbi Isaac Reis told me that in the SKA Shabbaton, there were peppers that were cut in half that were used as serving dishes for the ketchup and mustard. You see that? So it sounds like, I guess, a fancy caterer thing. So they'll slice off the top of the pepper, they'll fill it with ketchup or mustard. If I recall, the DRS Shabbaton is not as fancy. So someone asked Rabbi Reis if it's a violation of Baltashas. I wanted to tie him down that it's a problem. Is anyone going to eat it afterwards? Meaning, what do we say? Based on these klalim that we just said, that you're not supposed to use food in a way that's going to make it mo'us. And that applies not only to bread, to all foods that applies to, right? So what's the hat to? If it's not going to be mo'us, how are you megala that it's not mo'us? Eat from it. And if you're medaktikin, then you don't just eat from it, but you even eat from it as you're eating the food from it. Okay, so they're not going to be medaktikin, that's for sure, right? Because they're certainly not eating a piece of the pepper every time they take some ketchup. Is anyone going to eat a pepper that's full of mustard or ketchup afterwards? Pashas, nobody's going to eat from it. And the Ramah says, not only do you have to eat some of it, the Ramah says, you have to eat the whole thing afterwards. You have to make sure to consume the entire thing. So, Rabbi Reis at the time said, he was asked if it was baltashas, and he wrote in his email that he thought it wasn't because it wasn't a waste. Using food to enhance the atmosphere of a meal, bread bowls for a soup, watermelon cutouts, ice sculptures, adds to the cover of the meal. So he says, his question was regarding the svara that it's not baltashnis, if food is purely used as a decoration in order to enhance the avira, right? Meaning over here, Shulchan Aruch didn't think of that, probably, right? That you're using it not for practical reasons, but you're using it to be mechabedit, to show that, that this is chashuv. We don't use regular kelim, we're doing something fancy over here. So maybe the restriction of the Shulchan Aruch is only because it's a bizui, because I don't have a plastic spoon, so I'm going to use this. But over here they have plenty of plastic bowls. They're using this to add chashivus. But I think you would need a raya for that. So Rabbi Shai Schechter wrote back to us. We wrote an email together. So he wrote back, I just got off the phone, this is going back 15 years probably, I don't know, 10 years ago. He said, I just got off the phone with Rav Asher Weiss, 10 years ago. I asked him about this issue. He thought the following. It's not baltashkes, like Rabbi Reis suggested, because it's being used for human usage, similar to what we say by an adopted child ripping kriya, not being baltashkas, right? Even though he's not really a child, it's not baltashkas of the beged, because it's helping him emotionally deal with the loss, right? As far as bizayin ochlin is concerned, he had a chiddush. Maybe it's only bizayin ochlin if you mevaza something which is designated as food. But here, where we designated the pepper as a serving tray, or the challah as a soup bowl, maybe we'd assume that the shame ochel is being taken away from it, and it's no longer governed by the rules of bizayin ochlin. You hear? So Shai says chiddush, but interesting. I don't know what would be bizayin ochlin if not that. Meaning, isn't that the exact case of bizayin ochlin? That you're not going to eat from it, and you're using it just to use as a kli. I thought that was the exact case of bizayin ochlin. So I was very confused by that. I'm not really sure why Rav Asher Weiss held that way. I did come across a tshuva in the Mishnah Halachos. Mishnah Halachos was from Menashe Klein. Menashe Klein was a Holocaust survivor. He was a very interesting person. He was known as the Ungvar Rav. I once gave a series of shiurim called Rav Moshe Feinstein's Halachic Adversaries. I did one on Rav Menashe Klein. The one on Menashe Klein was about the Flavish. That was a fascinating. What? You live there? Is it still a fight? It's still a fight. Or yeah. Yeah, we're just looking at the
side. People do their own things,
Rabbi, one of the Rabbanim, I don't remember if he told me I shouldn't say this in his name or not, but the child of one of the Rabbanim who was involved said that he would get like death threats. His father would get death threats to his house. Like, it was mamish. People would like have unmarked packages that they had to call bomb squads and whatever. They didn't know what was being like. It was ugly. So anyway. Rav Menashe Klein was asked the following in Chelik Tezvav of Mishnah Lachos. B'dvar shashol mashanag ama dvar lizrok machalim ru'uyim lechol ba'ashba o b'beishimush v'reishkan b'zayokhli. That people throw perfectly good food in the garbage. Isn't that a b'zayokhli? And also baltashkis. So he said, maybe, so the shoal said, maybe you could wrap it in plastic and put it b'derech kavod in the garbage, and therefore, even though it's taken out together with the rest of the garbage, maybe it won't be such a problem.
Doesn't that only get rid of the
bizarre
part? Not the
baltashkis? Right. It would take care of the bizarre part, it's not the baltashkis. But it could be that if no one's going to eat it anyway, so what, you have to wait till it spoils? So that's not baltashkis. Meaning, let's say you ordered, two Thursday nights ago in camp. There was supposed to be a teen masmidin learning thing, but the teens were on a trip, they got back too late, so they missed it. Normally when it happens, it's really a beautiful thing. And the kitchen prepares enough poppers to feed all the teens and all the masmidin. But there were no teens there. And because there were no teens there, there were very few masmidin there. So there were like three masmidin that had three giant trays of poppers. Right? So what do you even say in such a situation? It's baltashka, so they have to eat every last one. So there's a
leftovers.
What? You got the leftovers. So it's a kind of baltashkas to guf ayadim, right? Meaning that sometimes the baltashkas you're doing on your body is a worse baltashkas than the baltashkas you'd be doing by throwing out the food. So this would seem to be well in the, in that category. So sometimes throwing it out is not baltashkas. He writes at the end of the tshuva, actually, he writes that... Meaning he says that we should eat in moderation, we shouldn't prepare too much food, that we're going to have to throw things out, and we should treat things carefully. But there's an interesting idea. I mean, at least bizoy ochlin, the meals of the ochlin, you could save yourself by wrapping it up in plastic, and you'll save that that problem. Okay, we'll stop there. And I guess you let me know what topic tomorrow we don't have, right? Because tomorrow's a trip day. So we'll be back on Thursday. So on Thursday, you let me know what topic you want to do. If you let me know in advance, I might